Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a teaching that I started over a week ago, talking about lessons from the Christmas story for every season. And we've just been taking the very familiar passages of Scripture that we hear a lot about during this time of year, and we're delving into them in more detail. And I tell you, some of the most profound things that the Lord has ever shown me come from these verses that we just kind of read over quickly to kind of set a mood for a special season of the year. And I'm not saying that that's totally wrong, but at the same time, it is doing a disservice to the Scripture in the sense that so very few people really have gone into any depth in what these verses mean. So I was using the Scriptures talking about the birth of Jesus, specifically where the angel appeared unto Mary and spoke to her. And on our program yesterday, I was really making a point that the birth of Jesus Christ coming into this earth was completely natural in every respect except one. And that is that instead of a man providing the seed that impregnated Mary, God's Word was the seed. She humbled herself and said, "So be it unto me according to thy word." And at that moment, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and took the word and put it into Mary's physical womb. And the word of God became the seed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever." The word of God is called a seed. The Greek word there is spora, which is a derivative of the Greek word sperma, which is talking about sperm and spores in flowers. And it is literally saying that the Word of God is like a sperm, like a seed. And God's Word impregnated Mary. Everything else about the virgin birth was completely natural. And I was sharing that if God went through and observed all of these natural things, and the only deviation from it was that the woman still had to be impregnated, but instead of a man doing it, God Himself impregnated Mary with the Word. If God followed all of these natural laws that He created, likewise, in the spiritual realm for us right now, there are laws about how God moves. And He takes the Word of God, and the Word of God literally germinates on the inside of us. And it releases His power. It says in Romans 10, 17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And there's a lot of people that just do not understand this process. They pray, and they say, "Oh God, I need this, heal me." And they don't know what the Word of God says. They haven't taken the Word. Faith hasn't come unto them. This incorruptible seed hasn't been released in their heart. And they just are so upset. "I can't understand why God didn't answer my prayer." That would be very similar to a woman who's praying for a child and yet she never has a relationship with a man, and she's just completely upset with God because she's fasted and prayed and just does not understand why she can't get pregnant. Well, it's because she didn't cooperate with the natural laws. You've got to conceive a child. The stork does not bring children. You've got to conceive them. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, you need to conceive a miracle. You know, sometimes it's not obvious to us that people have conceived a miracle. We just see the end result, and then people say, "Well, I want that." You know, I've seen my son raised from the dead. Some of you have heard me testify about that. He was dead for nearly 5 hours, between 4 and 5 hours, stripped naked with a toe tag in a cooler in a morgue. And God raised him up. Hallelujah. That's awesome. And people hear that and they say, "Man, that's what I want." And so they go to praying. But I can guarantee you it's not just prayer that caused it. Prayer might have been the thing that we saw manifest on that day, March the 4th, 2001. But you know what? I had been conceiving that miracle for decades. I had been taking the Word of God and meditating in it, specific scriptures like John 14:12, where He says, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father." I remember specifically taking that verse and meditating on it, and I started taking all of the miracles that Jesus did, specifically people being raised from the dead, and I meditated on it. It got to where at night, I'm a what they call a lucid dreamer, and I'll dream constantly. If I go to sleep for 5 minutes, I'll dream two or three times in 5 minutes' time. I'm nearly awake while I'm asleep. And at night, after I got to meditating on John 14:12, I would have dreams where I raised a dozen people or two dozen people from the dead every night. I got to where I was just consumed with this. I was taking the Word of God, and the Word of God was working on the inside of me. And then, all of a sudden, and it would have been somewhere around 1998, I saw a man raised from the dead. And people look at that and think, "Man, look at this miracle just happened." That's just as silly as saying, "Look at this baby, the stork must have brought it." No. You conceive a child and you carry it to term and then you give birth. And there's some effort involved in that birth. Likewise, there was effort involved. For years, I meditated on the Word. And then I've seen a total now of 3 people raised from the dead, including my own son. And it's because I took the Word of God and meditated on it, and it conceived something on the inside of me. There's people that hear a testimony and they say, "Well, man, that's what I want." And so they just go to praying and fasting, and then they get all frustrated and angry and bitter at God, like, "Why didn't you do something?" And you don't get miracles just by prayer. Prayer is like the water that you put on the ground after you've planted a seed. But if you don't plant the seed, you can water barren ground and nothing will grow. Water facilitates and helps a seed to grow. Prayer helps us receive from God, but you've got to take the Word of God and conceive this miracle. And you know, just as a woman, when a woman first gets pregnant, she doesn't even know she's pregnant. It takes a period of time before the person who has this pregnancy even knows it themselves. Other people don't know it. Likewise, when I first started taking the Word and meditating on it, I didn't know that it was doing anything for certain. I believed it was, but I mean, there was no evidence of it. Nobody else could see it in my life, and there were times that I even doubted it. But you know what? The Word of God took root on the inside of me and began to produce. And then, once a woman gets pregnant, after a while, she knows she's pregnant, but other people can't tell she's pregnant. It doesn't show yet. Likewise, there came a time when I knew that the Word of God was changing my heart and changing my attitudes. And so I knew I was spiritually pregnant. Nobody else could tell it, but I could. But then, you know, a woman will eventually reach a place where she's so huge, everybody says, "Man, when's your due date? Looks like you're about ready to pop." Everybody can tell you're pregnant. And likewise, there comes a time where, I mean, I was so excited about the Word. I was speaking it. I was confessing it, that other people around me got excited. They begin to start saying, "Man, I believe it. I believe that it's going to happen for you," because they could see the Word and the impact that it was having on my life. And then eventually the birth comes. And some people walk up and say, "Well, man, that was quick." That's not quick to that woman who had to be pregnant for 9 years and go through all of the inconveniences and everything involved with it. Likewise, people see a miracle happen in my life and they think, "Well, man, that was easy, and look how quickly that came." You don't know how long I've been believing and standing on some things. I had one of my students come to me one time and they heard me minister and they were really impressed. Matter of fact, it was this same message about, you know, how to conceive a miracle. It was this message that I preached. And they came and they said, "That was awesome." They said, "How long did you spend preparing that message?" And at that time, I think I said something like 33 years I've been meditating on the Word. And they just thought, you know, it was an hour or 2 hours or a day or something like that. Some people don't understand that what they're seeing is the product of something that has gone on in an unseen realm for a very long period of time. And this is why a lot of people don't see the miracles of God come to pass in their life, because they are just praying for a virgin birth. a virgin miracle without having any interaction with the Word of God. And I'm telling you, that is not how it works. I'm telling you the spiritual facts of life. You know, all of us have had to be educated in the natural facts of life, but it's sad to say, spiritually speaking, a lot of people just don't know the facts of life, and they are trying to give birth to the miraculous and to the things of God without understanding that there is a conception and an incubation period of time, and you have to bring those things to term. And it's amazing how many Christians do not understand this. Also, here is another great truth. This is one of the greatest things that I feel like the Lord has spoken to me. And I've got a tape series, or a CD series, and a book entitled The Believer's Authority that actually is a much expanded version of what I'm about to tell you right here. And this has become a foundational truth that God has just exploded in my life. And this teaching on the believer's authority will go into a lot more detail than what I have time to do here on a television program. So you can get that resource. But let me just quickly try and summarize some things. I may not get all of this done today, but I will do it in the next couple of days. But when God created the heavens and the earth, He was the source of all power and all authority. But when He created man, He gave us power and authority by His words. This is how God spoke the worlds into existence. It came out of His mouth. There's a scripture that literally says the sun and all of the stars came out of His mouth. He spoke these things into existence. He said, "Let there be light." And then when He created man, He said, "Let us make man in our own image." And then He said to man, "You have dominion. You have power. You have authority." God bound Himself by His Word. Psalms chapter 89, verse 34 says, "My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips." So when God speaks something, it's a covenant to Him. It's binding. The Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus is the express image of His person and He upholds all things by the word of His power. It's the integrity of God's Word that created the worlds, the universe, and He holds it all together by the power of His Word. If God was to lie, the entire universe, you and me, everything physical that was created by His Word and His integrity would self-destruct. It would explode. It'd blow up. So God cannot lie. When God told Adam and Eve, "You have dominion over this earth. You rule. You subdue it." Did you know what that did? Because of His own integrity, that took Him out of the direct control of what happened on the earth, and He gave it to men. And He told them not to deviate from what He told them, but He gave us a choice. And when we yielded to Satan's lies and we committed high treason against God, sinned against Him, in a sense, now I'm praying that you'll hear what I'm saying. I haven't got time to go into all of the detail of this. Again, you can get my teaching entitled The Authority of the Believer if you want to get the full detail. But in a sense, God tied His own hands from intervening in the affairs of man because He gave control of this earth to us, and He didn't put any qualifications or stipulations on it. He didn't say, "If you won't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then I'll let you rule and control the earth. If you follow my leading, then I'll never take this back." There was no conditions. It was unqualified, unconditional authority given to mankind. And when man sinned, we turned dominion of this earth over to the devil. Satan actually got his power and authority not from God, but from us. It was God's power and authority, but it was by way of mankind. He didn't just charge God head on and rebel and get cast down to the earth. He came to us because we had an unconditional authority given to us by God, and He deceived mankind. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Even though Romans 6:14 wasn't written yet, The Word of God is forever settled, and it was already a truth and reality. It just hadn't been recorded and revealed to us. And so when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they became the servants of sin and the author of that sin, Satan. And Satan took his authority that he used to destroy mankind and cause all of these problems from men. That's why the devil has to have our consent and cooperation before he can do anything to us. He didn't have the power to just steamroll Adam and Eve and force them into submission. He came and deceived them into it because he didn't have authority over them. Satan had no power and authority to force Adam and Eve to do anything. Adam and Eve gave Satan their God-given power and authority. Psalms 115, I believe it's verse 16, says, "The heavens, even the heaven of the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath He given to the sons of men." God created everything, therefore had authority over them all. But when He created the earth, He delegated authority and power over the earth to Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they made Satan the god of this world. Prior to that time, Psalms chapter 82, I believe it's verse 6, says, Have I not said, you are all gods? Jesus quoted this in the New Testament when He was criticized by the scribes and the Pharisees. And God the Father made mankind gods over this earth. Not capital G, not divine, but gods in the sense of lords or controllers. He gave us power and authority, but we turned this power over to the devil. Now, the reason I've said all of that is to say, why didn't God just send Jesus from the beginning? Why did He wait 4,000 years after the fall of Adam and Eve before Jesus came to this earth? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, I believe it's around verse 4, that in the fullness of times, God sent His Son Jesus to this earth. There was an appropriate time. Why did God wait 4,000 years? Why did He let all of these people just struggle under the dominion of the devil without all of the benefits that Jesus came and purchased? You know why I believe it is? Because when God spoke the worlds into existence, when He spoke the first Adam into existence, He did not have any go-between between Him and creation. He was absolute in sole authority and control. And so He just said, "Let us make man in our image." And His words were so powerful that literally a man was formed and God created him. But after Adam turned that power and authority over to the devil, God would have been unjust to come down and just speak a new second Adam. This is the exact terminology used for Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He would have been unjust to have spoken the second Adam into existence because he was no longer the only person with authority. He had delegated authority to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve had turned it over to the devil, and God was limited, hindered in intervening in the affairs of man. And so what He had to do, He had to speak to the hearts of people that would hear, and then those people, the ones that had been given authority over this earth, had to speak it out of their mouth. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. God had to speak to our hearts, and then people had to speak these words out of their mouth, and that's how this second Adam, Jesus, had to be created. How was the first Adam created? It was spoken by the words of the Lord. Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image." And God said, "Let us make man in our image." And He spoke man into existence. He had to speak the second Adam, Jesus, into existence, but He was no longer in direct control. He had delegated that to man, and even though they misused it, He would not violate His word. He wouldn't lie. He wouldn't come back on it. And this is also why Jesus had to become flesh, because men were all corrupted by sin and under the dominion of the devil. And so they were the ones, it was mankind that turned all of this over to Satan. Satan, in a sense, even though he got it by lies and deception, he had it legally signed over to him, this power and authority, and God would have been unjust to come down and just say, this is not what I want. I'm changing all of the rules. You know, it's very similar. I gave a car away one time, and I intended for this to be a blessing to a person. And it was, and they used it for a while. But then they wanted to trade it in and get a better car. And the person came back to me and says, can I do this with your car? And I said, it's not my car. I gave it to you. It's yours. I signed the title over. He says, it's yours. You could put it out there and charge $10 per blow with a sledgehammer if you want to. I said, it's your car. You do not have to get my permission. See, I gave it without any strings attached. Likewise, God gave dominion over this earth to mankind without any strings attached. He never wanted us to give that authority over to the devil, but once it was done, God would have been unjust to come in and say, give me back this title. That's not what I intended. Nope, He gave it to us. And so, God Himself had to become a man. Because since man gave this authority to the devil, man would have to take it back. God was no longer directly in control. He only flowed through us to the degree that we responded. And this is why it took 4,000 years after the fall of Adam until Jesus could come. Because God had to speak to our hearts and then we had to speak forth these prophecies. And mankind had to literally speak the word that would produce this seed that impregnated Mary. Man had to speak this. And there was no man who was so totally in tune with the Lord that one man could say all of these things. You know, Abraham was given some prophecies directly from the Lord about Jesus. Moses prophesied about the Lord raising up a prophet like unto him. And David gave prophecies about his soul would not be left in hell. All of these things had to be spoken. Then Isaiah came along and spoke some radical, radical prophecies that a virgin is going to conceive. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that his name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, that by his stripes we are healed, and on. No one person was so in tune with God that they could speak all of the things that need to be said for Jesus to come into this earth. And so it took 4,000 years for God to find enough people that would respond to Him that could speak these things. And then when Gabriel appeared unto Mary, He took all of these prophecies for 4,000 years, bundled them together, said, Mary, you're the one. She said, I receive it. So be it unto me according to your word. And the Holy Spirit took those prophecies and impregnated Mary with that. And that is how Jesus came to this earth. Man, that is a quick summarization of a lot of things. I've got more to share on this. I'll continue it on our program tomorrow. But I would encourage you to please get this teaching. I've got this in a lot more detail in this series. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you some information. Our phone center is closed today, but you can go to our website to get this teaching on Lessons from the Christmas Story. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Lessons from the Christmas Story is available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page.
Our phone center is closed again today to give our employees a day off for the holidays, but it really is important that you get this teaching on Lessons from the Christmas Story. And the things that I shared today, I've got it in much more detail. So please go to our website. We have that address on the screen. Also, as you go there, I encourage you to check out all of the different things. We've got, I believe, the best website of any ministry that I've ever seen. And plus, we have hundreds, thousands of things that are there for free downloads. And most of everything that's on that website is free. So check it out. We've got the address on the screen. And order these materials on Lessons from the Christmas Story.
The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled How to Conceive a Miracle Free of Charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled The Believer's Authority. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Our helpline is closed today to allow our employees to celebrate the holiday. But you can always visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer, you can order materials by writing us. Use the address on your screen. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Caris Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You do not have to motivate God to heal. God wants to heal more than you want to be healed.
The almost too good to be true news you can use. www.awmi.net.
I want to make you aware that we now have our ministry, our Bible college ministry, available on online Bible school. And what this does, it allows you to go at your pace, take as many courses as you want, but you're still in a structured class situation where you have interaction with other students as well as a facilitator. It helps discipline you, but you can go at your own pace anywhere in the world. We have a web address on the screen, and I encourage you to go check out our online Bible school today.
Andrew would like to invite you to visit the website as he guides you through the second installment of the virtual tour. This time, come inside the future home of Caris Bible College. You can almost smell the new carpet.